So gold. We've all heard of this weird. No, that one doesn't change colors, right? It's always yellowish. It's gold color, right? Gold. From the very beginning, people have placed it in a high value. Very high value. You know, they desire the wealth and the power from this rare metal. Decorating with it, it showed that whatever they're decorating, that object is very important or something of wealth, right? Now, gold from the very beginning became a standard. Now, there's many, many, many meanings of a standard, but what do you think I'm talking about when I say standard? Like a what? Like a stereotype? Like Sony and Kenwood? A stereotype? Oh, okay. Stereotypical. Right. No, I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like an example. It's kind of a measuring stick, right? Kind of a standard. Something that you... Yes, Nick. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's what you expect, right? It's what you expect to be done. It's at the high end of the list. You know, so it's something everything else is measured by. You know, gold being at the very top of the list, if that's what you're measuring with, right? So that's the very tippy top. And then all the rest listed underneath it would be below it, right? Two through however many you have listed. So when it was dubbed Jesus, it was dubbed Jesus saying is dubbed the golden rule. What do you think that means? Anybody's heard of the golden rule, right? Everybody's heard of the golden rule? Right. No. Okay, what do you think, Ryan, since you haven't heard, what do you think the golden rule, since they dubbed it the golden rule, what do you think it means? Yes. Similar, yes, you can kind of get that from that. But what do you think the title, golden rule, means? The top rule, right, exactly. The very, you know, the very important rule to live by. Right? So I saw hands raise up that they heard of the golden rule. Does anybody know it? Right, right, exactly. That's the golden rule. We'll read in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. So, almost exactly what Brandon said, right? Right. The voice translation, so it's just another translation of the Bible, reads, "This is what our scriptures come to teach. In everything, in every circumstance, do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, Jesus here, he's condensing the Old Testament Leviticus, the whole book of Leviticus, he's kind of just condensing it down to this single commandment. This single commandment. Because if you keep this rule, you'll, all the other rules what are on there should fall underneath this kind of umbrella effect, right? All the rest should just fall underneath it. Because Jesus gets this basically from this one passage in Leviticus chapter 19. So Leviticus is towards the beginning of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. So you're right. You know, it was love your neighbor, because how do you want others to treat you? Very swell. So, right? Everybody here, who wants somebody to hate them? Anyone? I doubt it, right? You don't want anybody to hate you. Yeah, do you want that? Okay. You could argue it. You could argue it if they hate me for doing something good, right? But we generally, as human beings, we don't want anybody to hate us, right? That wouldn't make any sense. So, you know, I'd take that stab in the dark and say that nobody wants people to feel vengeance or place vengeance upon us or have a grudge against us. We would rather them love us. I'm talking brotherly love, right? Would want this to be treat us with kindness, you know, kind of a swell feeling all the way around, right? So is that what you guys feel like the golden rule, what the golden rule means to you guys? Anybody have a different idea of that? Who's thought of it before, what the golden rule means? Right. Has anybody, well, this first year hearing about it, right? So have you ever thought about what it really means? Yes? And what to you does that mean? Right. Exactly. So that is how we should treat others, right? We should treat others good, or in a loving way. We are to love our neighbors. Because if we love our neighbors, if we think about this, if we actually love others, we won't be murdering them, right? You don't murder somebody you love. We won't be lying to them. We won't be taking advantage of them. We won't be taking things from them or stealing from them, right? You know, and then from them, we will be happy for them when they have something, not envious of them. If we truly love others, right? So in that blanket, you know, we just covered 5 of the 10 commandments, right? And that's why he kind of condensing that just to that single commandment. Is because that will cover everything if you truly love them. Now, some people will say the golden rule is not a Christian thing. You know, it's found in other religions. Some even go as far as saying Jesus borrowed the idea. Now, as Christians, we know Jesus is God, right? Correct me when you don't know this. And God is the Alpha and the Omega. So that means the beginning and the end. He's the creator. So if he's the one what created, everything else came from him, right? So you could say, I mean, it's definitely a Christian thing, because everything's a Christian thing. You know, I mean, some things get diluted and distorted, but it came from God. Now, these ancient religions, and they do, these ancient religions, they'll have similar phrases. But if we think about it, ancient religions, they might have some good phrases here and there, you know, mixed in with some garbage man and it's added. But we remembered at the very beginning, we were all, what? We were all one group of people, right? So over the years, you know, some Christian ideas probably survived. You know, even something, because it makes sense. This is kind of common sense, right? Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's kind of common sense. So you'd think that these stuff would survive. And then the other thing is, Jesus got that phrase from Leviticus, as we just found out, right? In Leviticus, arguably, you know, there's some people who date things really weird, but it predates all the other similar texts that are similar to the Golden Rule. So my question to them would be is, who borrowed from whom? Right? To me, I'm fully convinced that more than likely they borrowed from Jesus. They borrowed from Jesus' good ideas. And then we could also look like most other religions, what use this form, this golden rule, uses a form of negative. It's a negative form. You know, they say avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. That's just an example. Now, Jesus says what to do. He doesn't tell us what not to do. I know it sounds the same, right? It sounds the same, but there's actually a difference if you think about it. Jesus wants us to have a positive or proactive love towards others. So it's what we should do, not what we shouldn't do. Because on the other hand, I mean, we should love because it's the right thing to do. Avoiding something usually is done so that we can benefit from it. You know, it's called maximum reconsumption. You know, it said, I give so that you will give in return. So that's more of a negative form of the golden rule. Is giving so that you can get something. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. So we shouldn't be looking for anything in return, right? When we do something, we should be doing it for just because it's the right thing to do. So typically, let's say we smiled and waved at somebody. Of course, you guys aren't waving back because I look like, oh, thank you. So typically, somebody would smile and wave back, right? Doesn't happen every single time. But if you're going out in the street, either they think that you're crazy or that you're a really nice person, right? So if you were waving somebody out there just like, hey, hi, typically somebody's don't say hi back, right? What if you knew him? What if you somewhat knew them? Right. And would you wave back? Yeah, see? They return your kindness with a smile and wave back to you. But it's not a guarantee. And I don't want you to think that there is a guarantee on that, right? Because some people might, you know, they might be having a bad day. And we don't know that. And we shouldn't get mad at them just because they had a bad day. But, you know, even if multiple people, I'm going to stop waving at people because they don't wave back. You know, we shouldn't do that. Just keep waving, right? Keep being nice. You know, that bully may still call you names, even if you're nice to them, but it doesn't mean that we need to stop. You know, we may never see the change that our kindness will set. However, a random act of kindness can plant a seed. And what do you think I mean by a seed? A seed is something what? You put in the ground and it can grow. So when I say, you know, it might plant a seed, I mean planting a seed in somebody. What do you think I mean? Right. You could plant something, act of kindness on somebody's heart, but you never know. I mean, that could change them. You know, it might not change it right away, but it could change it later. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Exactly. So Paul is talking here. And we all know Paul, right? He did amazing things. He did amazing things. He said that he planted a seed. So he's talking about he planted a seed. Now, Apollo is another man, what would have been in ministry back then. Here's another man, he nurtured that seed. So he watered it. He kind of took care of it. But then he goes on and he gives all the credit where it should go, and that was God. For that God will let the growth, you know, that's where the growth of the seed comes from. So Paul, you know, Paul may never, even though he did amazing things, he may never have seen all the seeds that he planted. But that doesn't stop him, or that did not stop them from planting as many seeds as he could. Because the more seeds you plant, the more harvest that will grow, right? There's more chances for a harvest to grow, as many seeds as you plant. Now, I said there is no guarantee that somebody's don't smile back, or that the bully's not going to stop calling you names. But I have seen this firsthand, is that it is harder. It is definitely a lot harder for a fight to elevate when one of the people are calm and kind, right? It might get the other person a little bit frustrated, but the fight is harder to elevate. Now, plus, then we have to look at, you know, a kind word. If we never offer a kind word or have kind actions, you know, chances are we'll never receive kindness back. Does that make sense? It's because you're always rude to everybody around you. They're not going to want to deal with it, right? So chances are you're not don't have that kind word unless you run into a Christian, right? Which we should be, right? Should happen. Unless you hang around or run into a Christian, they should be giving you a kind word. But chances are the people you do hang around with, if you're rude all the time, no, you're not going to get any kindness directed towards you. Now, I know I'm old, but I've had the pleasure through the years that I've had,